An attorney for former President Donald Trump is testifying to a grand jury today about classified documents found at Trump's home in Florida. The lawyer, Evan Corcoran, was ordered to testify about his communications with Trump without the protection of attorney-client privilege. The special counsel is looking into Trump's handling of the documents.
The grand jury in another investigation of hush money paid to an adult film star will meet on Monday in New York. Trump's prediction that he would be arrested this week did not come true. Nonetheless, it unsettled Republicans and Democrats who sought to stick to other items on their agenda. Our Friday Politics Roundtable joins us. Rhonda Colvin is Capitol Hill reporter for The Washington Post. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And Tal Kopen is Deputy DC Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe. Hi, Tal. Not sure if we have Tal on the line, but let's jump in with Rhonda. The Trump cases, two big cases. One in New York involves payments made 7 years ago to the adult film star Stormy Daniels. Though there are questions about the timing and whether this connects to a federal crime. The former president is raising money off of this meantime and claiming he's a victim. Rhonda, just tell us a little bit about the other case, not the New York one, which we've been hearing a lot about. What's this other case Trump may be indicted in?
Well, the other case, as you described earlier, that's playing out here in D.C. is that one of his lawyers is testifying in front of a grand jury today, as we speak, actually. And that case is looking into potential mishandling of the classified documents that were found at Mar-a-Lago. So that case is also underway. Now, I will also note that there is also that grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia. That's looking into if Trump interfered in the 2020 election by pressuring election officials, state officials down there in a campaign around the time of January 6th. So that's also playing out. We know with Fulton County that that grand jury has submitted a report, and we're now waiting to see what they do next. So all of these cases are separate and being organized by different entities, state and local and federal, but they all seem to be culminating around the same time.
Yeah, and I mean, all these cases, Donald Trump tomorrow is going to hold a rally in Waco, Texas, and many of us will remember there are far-right connections. The FBI conducted a deadly raid on the Branch Davidian Group in Waco 30 years ago when Trump has long stoked anger about government overreach. We have Tal back on the line, and Tal, let me just ask you, as far as this rally Donald Trump is going to hold in Waco, where do you see this going?
Well, I mean, that's sort of a, I don't know how many millions of dollar questions you want to put on this. You know, it's really tough. The memory of January 6th is very fresh in everyone's mind. We know that, you know, throwing a match into a tinderbox can have consequences. At the same time, right now, it doesn't, you know, it seems like our intelligence community is a little bit more attuned to it. We don't necessarily see indications that there's, you know, preparations for kind of the large scale protests that Trump is calling for. But this is a fraught situation and an unpredictable politician lashing out. And so, you know, it seems like the people who should be thinking about what to do next are thinking about what to do next. But, you know, it kind of depends where we all go from here.
Yeah. Now, Trump last night posted there'd be, quote, death and destruction. That's a quote from him, if he's indicted. Meantime, on Wednesday, Republican Senator John Thune was asked if he'd be comfortable with Trump winning the GOP nomination in 2024. Let's listen to what he said.
That's a hypothetical question that's a long ways off. And we've got, you know, a number of candidates who we're looking at. Some are already in that race. And so I don't think that it's in any Republican's best interest right now to speculate about what might happen.
Rhonda, given Trump's fiery rhetoric again, how are leading Republicans addressing this issue?
Well, you are hearing people, especially Senate Republicans like Senator Thune, say exactly what he said, is that they want to sort of build some distance. You hear also that we will support whoever is the Republican candidate for president 2024. It's a long way off. We're tired of the background noise of this happening. But you're also seeing House Republicans make these cases a little bit more of a political issue. For instance, at the beginning of this week, there were three chairmen of House committees who sent a letter to Alvin Bragg, who is the DA in the case with the hush money payments. And they demanded documents from him for him to sit for a transcribed interview. Kevin McCarthy, the Speaker of the House, said that Congress will investigate if any federal funds have been used in this case in Manhattan, which is unlikely. That is a sovereign district. But we also saw Alvin Bragg come back to those requests for documents yesterday, and a lawyer from his team said that they will not allow a congressional investigation to impede their work. So they're clearly saying they are going to stand by whatever their decision is and that Congress doesn't have jurisdiction into their investigation. So again, you are seeing some Republicans kind of try a balancing act in somewhat supporting him or all out supporting him. And, you know, it remains to be seen if there is an indictment, how they might react to that.
Let's turn now to a big hearing this week on Capitol Hill. We know that the head of social media platform TikTok testified before House lawmakers, who many of whom want to ban the app. It is a Chinese company, and many are claiming connections with the Chinese government and the Communist Party. Here's Democrat Frank Pallone at the hearing.
I asked you whether the company TikTok would commit to not selling its data to anyone and just using it for its own purposes internally.
I can get back to you on the details.
Okay,
of that.
Get back to me.
Tal, we have seen hearings here in Washington where lawmakers talk about technology they don't necessarily use a lot. We'll put it that way. You know, one of them asked if TikTok could access a home Wi-Fi network, widely mocked on social media. Years ago, a senator asked if Facebook monitors emails from WhatsApp, even though WhatsApp doesn't do email. Was the real point here simply to pile on in a very bipartisan way to an app owned by a Chinese company?
Well, I mean, it was unusual in this hearing to see the just complete, almost unanimity among lawmakers. I mean, it was coming from all sides. Typically in a congressional hearing, you have one side really going after the witnesses, the other side kind of giving them some shelter. There was none of that. And so you see this really outpouring of outrage. But as you point out, I mean, there is national security questions about the role of China in owning this app. And some of those questions are unclear. We don't actually know for sure what the connections are. And, you know, the TikTok representative who was there sought to make clear that, some of these distinctions are still in place. The company's headquartered in Singapore. There's a lot of dispute over the national security implications. And then you see outrage over things that really in some ways apply to a lot of social media right now, where you have these concerns about the way teens can get sucked into these sort of dangerous vortexes of content. And when it comes to TikTok, there's this connotation put on by some lawmakers that China is kind of intentionally somehow, you know, seducing our youth into these rabbit holes. But truly, I mean, we're seeing similar, you know, there are Instagram reels, there's Facebook, you know, there's all this stuff on social media and the concerns about the impact of teens. So it, in some sense, there does feel to be on Capitol Hill a little bit of just general outrage that's being funneled at TikTok, so to speak, because it seems like a safe target where a lot of the concerns speak to broader issues. I mean, there's plenty of foreign ownership stakes right now in Twitter with some of Elon Musk's financing. It's not just China and TikTok that this comes up.
You know, I want to move quickly to Canada, where President Biden and Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau have reached an agreement that would allow the US and Canada to turn away asylum seekers who cross the border without authorization. Tal, I know you've followed this a lot. Is this a big problem on the Canadian border?
Well, it's a growing issue for sure. Deepa, I know you've covered this a lot too. We've covered it together in a past life. I think what you're seeing is a sort of response to it being a growing issue, that you're seeing greater activity at the northern border than we have been traditionally or in recent memory. You know, the southern border was very active, half a year ago, about a year ago. It's calmed down some. And when you see migration patterns change, there's often a response. And at issue in this Canada-US agreement is that they already had in place this agreement that if you get to the US first and then try to cross into Canada and seek asylum, you're rejected, and vice versa. But it only applied to legal border crossings. And as the two countries have seen a pretty significant uptake in the number of people crossing between those legal crossings, they're now trying to clamp that down as well.
Yeah. So we will keep following this. There's a lot going on there with the new Get Tough on Immigrant moves from the Biden administration. I want to thank you both for being with us. Tal Copen is Deputy DC Bureau Chief for the Boston Globe, and Rhonda Colvin is Capitol Hill reporter for the Washington Post. Thank you, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks to you both. Have a good weekend.